And I love the quote by Mark Twain. He said this. He said, when I was 15, my father was so dumb, I could hardly stand to be around him. But when I got to be 25, I was amazed at how much that man had learned in 10 short years. Honor your father and mother. Not because the way that they treated you, but because the way God asks you to treat them. And you're a person of honor, so just pour on the honor.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Today's message was given on a Sunday where New Hope took time to honor police, fire department, first responders, and others whom God has placed in authority over us. We'll hear firsthand how Pastor Wayne's father used the Stars and Stripes method to exercise his authority. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Service of Honor.
We want to thank and pledge our support for the great work that all of these wonderful people have been giving to us. We've all been recipients of whether it's the EPD or sheriffs or medical, first responders, dispatchers, government officials. We're thankful for them and we want to pray for them, especially because the Bible says to do exactly that. And we do want to share our thanks. Would you say thank you again to all of these that are represented today? But first, a funny story. There's a huge fire going on downtown, as the story is told, and the building was an inferno of flames, and the potential of it burning the whole town was imminent. And so the fire department was there trying to put the fire out, but to no avail. It was like a lost cause. They were going to lose that building and the ones on either side. All of a sudden, the people that were bystanders heard this clang, 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 clang of a bell, like this ancient bell, turned around, and here's the volunteer fire department with a 1950s fire truck rumbling down the street with six gray-haired old men between ages of 70 and 80, and water streaming out all over the place, leaking from these hoses. And they must have been fearlessly bold, because they don't stop. They run right into the belly of the inferno and start putting out the fire from the inside out. It must have worked, because within minutes, the fire died down and they saved the building and maybe the whole town. Well, a couple of weeks later, they had to have a celebration to honor the bravery of these volunteer fire department men. And so they brought them up front, and the mayor said, we want to present this check for $20,000 to the volunteer fire department. Here it is. And the old geezer comes up, you know, with overalls. Thank you. And he receives it. And the mayor says, this is a lot of money. What are you going to use it for? And the old volunteer fire guy says, well, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to fix them brakes on that truck. Well, we're surrounded by people that want to serve, and we're grateful for that. But that's what I want to talk about today, showing honor to those to whom honor is due, because I want you to see how crucial it is for our own lives, as well as for the ones that we bestow honor upon. It helps us in our own lives. In fact, Romans chapter 12 says it this way. Would you read it with me on the board? Go. Take the lead in honoring. Yeah, believers should take the lead, not the aft, the lead in honoring people. And this is what I want to challenge us on here at New Hope West, to take the lead in honoring one another. Here's an intriguing truth. Listen carefully. The amount of honor you show will be equal to the amount of God's favor you receive. The amount of honor that you show will be equal to the amount of God's favor that you receive. We can read it in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30. It says this. Would you read it with me? Go. Those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Yeah, you see, when you give honor, God says you'll receive honor in return. You can never expect to give to receive something you're unwilling to give. You have to give first. If you want to receive God's uplift, if you want to receive God's honor, receive God's favor, you've got to give it. That's why the Bible says, give and it shall be. You don't expect to receive stuff you ain't willing to give. You can't go to a fireplace and say, give me heat, and then I'll give you wood. It don't work that way. And so the Lord says it's equal to the honor that you show will be the favor that you receive. Ephesians 6, the Apostle Paul quotes the Old Testament Ten Commandments. And commandment number 5, right at the apex, the fulcrum, right in the middle of the Ten Commandments, is this commandment. And it's linked with a promise. Would you read it with me and focus on the first word? Go. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it will go well with you and that you might live long on the earth. Did you catch that? Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. This is a commanded blessings when you honor. Can I speak to the young people in our church? Honor your parents. Respect them. You might not agree with everything they say, but at least respect them enough to consider that. Take it to prayer. Listen, because in everything there might be a shred of truth. Even though sometimes a presentation may not be the most ideal, sometimes instruction comes wrapped in struggle paper. But don't discard the whole thing because you don't like the wrapping. Your parents have been around the barn so many times, they're starting to smell like the barn. But respect them. Don't just tolerate them, treasure them. Some of you maybe have had a bad past and you want to protest or rebel against that. Don't. Because it's not what happens to us, but what happens in us that makes all the difference in the world. See, suffering will change you, but not necessarily for the better. You have to choose that. And so I tell our young leaders, your future is not what lies ahead of you. Your future is what lies within you. It's how you see things, how you define things. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 6, it says, the lamp of your body is your eye. If your eye sees things clearly, like God wants you to see them, your whole body will be filled with light. But if you see things poorly, your whole body will be filled with darkness. And if the light that is in you is darkness, how great shall that darkness be? You have to understand that you don't see things with your eye. You see, this is just an ocular lens that projects an image to your brain. You see with your brain. And if your brain is off, if you think poorly, if you're perceiving things poorly, then you're going to see everything as negative. It's not your eyeball. It's your heart. It's not what happens to you. What happens in you. And you can see things differently. That's why someone sees something as an opportunity. Someone else sees the same thing as a threat. It's not your eyeball. It's here. And so we want to make sure that we're respecting our parents and see it in a way that we can turn it into something good, because there's always going to be a shred of truth, even though it might be wrapped in struggle paper. Let me tell you about my life. One of the earliest remembrances I have is when I was 6 or 7, holding on to my mom when my dad and mom were having this horrible fight just before the divorce, and I was yelling at my dad, please leave mom alone. Please don't hit her anymore. My dad then left, and as things went on, we had to move and live with our dad, who was in the Army. He was fair, but he was extremely, extremely strict. He was a master sergeant at the time, smoked a cigar, and laid down the lines. And I tell you, my dad disciplined us in the true military fashion. He laid down the stripes until we saw stars. And well, I was sent off to a Catholic school, a seminary. I was actually studying to be a priest. But that didn't last long. I got kicked out in 2 years, so I wasn't the best candidate. And so then I went into depression because my mother died when I was in algebra class, and my dad wouldn't let me go see her, wouldn't pay for the trip. I hated my dad, hated God, hated everybody. I actually retreated, lived in a little cabin, believe it or not, for 1.5 years, and until one day I got into a fight with my dad. It was a horrible little cabin, and I just wanted to be away from everybody. And I got into a vicious fight with my dad and left, went to Portland, the infamous Portland, and became one of those protesters. I got into heavy metal music and drugs until I got saved. The Lord changed my life. And I was reading the Bible one day, and the Ten Commandments says, honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise, that it'll go well with you. And I thought, Lord, I want it to go well with me. Then he said, you go honor your parent. You go drive down to where your dad is and ask for forgiveness. I thought, no way. But after the Lord kept nailing on my heart, just pounding on my heart, I said, okay, got in the car, drove down there, asked for forgiveness. It was one of the toughest things I could do because my pride had swelled so much by this time. So I went down and asked for forgiveness. My dad and I hugged each other. And you know, the cool thing was, is that it wasn't more than about a year later that my dad received Christ. And then my siblings would receive Christ. And I look at it and it's like, when you honor your parents, it's like God starts to answer the prayers that you've been praying. I mean, all kinds of things get activated in the kingdom. Because when you honor, something happens in you and something in the kingdom of heaven is shifted like a chiropractic adjustment and everything goes back into alignment. I thought, wow. And the cool thing is that I get to see my dad one day in heaven. He passed away a few years ago. I thought, wow. Another interesting thing is, I thought, you know, some people will come to me and say, Wayne, if you could change your past, would you change it? And at first I'd say, absolutely. But then I thought, no, I don't think I would. Because God knew the ministry that I would be called to and the things that I would have to go through. And it's like the Lord said, Wayne, if Harvard would have taught you those things or Princeton, I would have sent you there. But I knew that the way that you would be trained would be in this environment where you'd have to learn to navigate some things. And it'd be some suffering that'll take place. But it'll be on your knees that you'll see further than philosophers on their tiptoes. And the tears that you weep will be turned into pearls. That's where you're going to find your greatest instruction. See, you can graduate from the university, but you can never graduate from the university of the Holy Spirit. He's going to teach us. And God knows what's best. So I think about it then. Was it a bad past? No. What the devil meant for harm, God meant for good. And I love the quote by Mark Twain. He said this. He said, when I was 15, my father was so dumb, I could hardly stand to be around him. But when I got to be 25, I was amazed at how much that man had learned in 10 short years. Honor your father and mother. Not because the way that they treated you, but because the way God asks you to treat them. And you're a person of honor, so just pour on the honor. It's sort of like if I had a glass bowl here and I put a ping pong ball on the bottom, it would stay on the bottom. But if I kept pouring water into it, that little ping pong ball would rise to the top. If I berated it and yelled at it, it would stay at the bottom, wouldn't it? But if I just kept pouring water. In fact, there's a Bible story about that. A notorious woman that was a sinner found Jesus right before dinner, and she took out a vial of very, very expensive perfume. Poured it on him. Now, representative of oil in the Bible is honor. That's what oil represents. In Psalm 133, it talks about pouring oil on Aaron, the priest, and runs down his beard. It's just a way of God honoring someone. And this lady was honoring Jesus before his burial. Now, some of the disciples didn't like that. They looked at the monetary equality of that oil, and they thought, "Well, wait a minute, that oil would equal a lot of bucks. Why is she wasting it?" In fact, they said it this way. Let's read it. It'll come up on the board. Read it with me. Go. "Why this waste? For this perfume might have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you bother the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing for me." Did you catch that? The Lord said, when she poured oil on him, the Lord said, "That's beautiful," because it represents honor. You see, when you show honor to God or show honor to people, God says, "That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Keep doing that." And watch this. She gave honor, and in return, she received favor, because right after that, Jesus turned to her and said, "Woman, your sins are forgiven." See, she gave honor, and she received favor. The amount of honor you show will be equal to the amount of favor you receive. And the Bible says we should be leaders in giving honor. If we'll just learn to honor, you'll receive what the Bible calls a commanded blessing. Now, I know some of our parents may not have been the most perfect. There's always flaws and foibles. We understand that. But it doesn't mean that we should disrespect, because that's a command of God that's linked with a promise, and God wants you to activate that promise through giving honor. But what if they don't deserve it? What if they're a parent that did me wrong? What if it's a relative that cheated me, or brother-in-law, or someone that molested me? Should we? Well, we're not talking about that as much as just honoring those that deserve honor. Just to give them honor. Wives especially, you know, honoring your husbands are going to be so important. Because one of the things that's a crucial need in a man's life is to be honored, to be respected. And when there's none of that, then there's going to be a devolving and eroding of a relationship. You say, well, wait a minute. There's no perfect husband. No, there's no perfect husband, because Anna, my wife, married the last one. And so, sorry, guys. But here's the cool thing. You say, well, what if they don't deserve honor? Don't be the judge for that. The Bible says, bless those who even curse you. Bless and curse not. I'll tell you why. This is one of my favorite verses. Are you ready? It's out of Luke 10. Let's read it together. Go. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. In other words, give honor, give blessing, all right? Go. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, here it is, it will return to you. There's a kind of a dividend reinvestment program. You see, the Bible says this, when you honor somebody, even if they don't deserve honor, honor and bless anyway, because you're not the judge whether they deserve it or not. Let God be the judge. Ours is, we are couriers of blessing. We are couriers of honor. So we give blessing. We give honor. If God says, oh, that person doesn't deserve it, let him decide that. And if he says they don't deserve it, guess what? It bounces back to your account. Is that cool or what? So my mantra in life is I'm going to try to find people that are the least deserving of a blessing. And so I'll say, Lord, bless that person with money, lots of money. I see someone else that doesn't deserve blessing. Lord, bless him with a Harley Davidson. Just bless him with a Harley Davidson. I just love this. I don't know if you're as greedy as I am, but I just love this because it says if they're not deserving of blessing, it will return to you. And I thought, wow, we're carriers of honor. We're carriers of honor, aren't we, Lord? And our role is to bless and respect and to honor. It's God's to judge. But it does something for us. It keeps our heart clean, keeps us aligned with God, like that chiropractic spiritual adjustment that takes place. And by the way, God gives us authority to be couriers of his blessing. I wonder how many blessings have been withheld because we've not bestowed it on anybody. One of the things I would love us to do is just in the supermarket or grocery store, Bi-Mart, wherever, just to, when they do, someone does something good, just say, God bless you. Well, what if they don't deserve it? God's the one that judges that. He determines whether they should receive it or not. And if not, then it bounces back to you. So just bless everybody and you'll be blessed. And if we would just say God bless you to people a little bit more, you'd be surprised how there'll be a cashier that'll go, oh, thank you. No one said that to me for a long time. Well, God bless you. And you'll find there's a lot of Christians out there that maybe will be ignited and re-inspired just simply because of those words. God bless you. Now remember, God's the judge whether they should receive it or not. And if they're not able to receive it or worthy of that, it'll bounce back to you. I think that's a pretty good deal, don't you think? That's a pretty good deal. God gives us authority. And if we're going to pierce the darkness of this society, you need to have authority over hell. You need to have authority over the minions of the darkness. And God gives us authority so that we can, our words make a difference. It pierces the darkness. It divides between truth and error. That your words will be fortified by heaven. We need that authority, especially in this world today in which we live, where everything is just so confounded. It's so incongruent and inconsistent. But we live in this world where God is saying, I want to give the church authority so that when you speak, the truth comes through like a laser, like something, a sharp knife that divides truth and error, right and wrong, good or evil. Your words and mine have great authority. The authority that the Lord gives us. You say, well, I need some more authority and influence, and you should, because we need that influence to pierce the darkness, to be able to battle what the enemy's trying to do. Well, how do we get that as a church? Just more authority rather than a diminished authority. How do we have, well, here's the first, real easy. Start building somebody up rather than tearing them down. Often we misuse our authority. Do you know who you're talking to? Where's my reserve parking? Do you know who I am? I remember some time ago, I told a Portuguese joke in the first service. And a Portuguese joke is like a blonde joke, you know. And one of the people from the program team after the first service came up and said, maybe you shouldn't use that joke because some people are maybe offended by it. I said, what do you mean? It was kind of edgy, I have to say. But what do you mean? Well, you know, we just want to make sure that we're not offending people. So I thought, at first I thought, do you know who you're talking to? I'm the pastor here. This is my sermon. Don't mess with my sermon. But the Lord said, shut up, just shut up. This person has been given the assignment to make sure everything runs smoothly. So honor that person. Don't dishonor them. You can, but don't. So I said, all right. And so, you know, I didn't use that in the second and third, and it flowed so much better. And when I look back, so many more came to Christ the second and third service than the first. I thought, By the way, there are no Portuguese jokes. They're all true stories. Authority. But you remember the woman that poured oil on Jesus? Let me tell you the other side of the story. When that woman was honoring God, some of the disciples were indignant. That means mad. What in the world does he think he's doing, receiving that expensive oil from this woman who everybody knows is immoral? This looks bad, really bad. And they huddled over here by the water cooler. Yeah, that's stupid. Yeah, why is he doing that? Yeah, that's dumb, isn't it? Yeah. So the Bible says it this way. Let's read it. And it says this. Go. But some were indignantly remarking to one another. Watch this. Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went off to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. Listen, there's probably 12 here in this little complaint circle, little pity party. You know, they probably all survived except one. Everyone else said, yeah, that's stupid. Yeah, anyway, let's go. One of them, it pierced him too much, and it wounded him to the point where he goes out to betray Jesus. Listen carefully. If we're dishonoring people in a little pity party, most of the people there, all your compadres, might survive that criticism, that critique, that complaint, that scrutiny. But maybe one won't. It could be a young person. It could be someone that's fragile, a young lady. And then you go and carry on your day, but they're ruined. And their life changes because of it. And they go into a tailspin. Can I encourage you? God says to honor people because it's the best thing to do as you bless them. But be careful if we get into pity parties because someone in your group may not survive that scathing. Someone may have their futures eroded because of it. Let me give you the other side. I was at a pastor's conference recently, and there was a pastor there that said, hey, I want to show you something. And he'd been pastoring for quite a few years. I said, yeah, what is it? He opened his Bible, and there was a note that I had written to him 25 years ago. He said, I keep this in my Bible because it so helped me. When I feel like I want to quit, I thumb through my Bible, and I come across your note, and it reminds me of God's calling. And I wrote on the bottom, John 15:16, you didn't choose me. And I said his name. I chose you and appointed you that you should go forth and bear fruit. And I said, you've been chosen by God to be one of his men, an ambassador for Christ. Never forget that God makes no mistake in his choosing. And he said, I read that again and again and again, 25 years ago. And I thought, Lord, thank you for reminding me to give honor to those to whom honor is due, because it just might change their future. Let's be a people that take the lead in honoring and know that God will use that for his glory. Can you say amen to that? Amen, amen, and amen.
From New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon, that was Wayne Cordero with a message entitled Service of Honor. Thank you for listening. To learn more about Pastor Wayne and New Hope, just visit newhopewest.com. And keep in mind, you can now catch Pastor Wayne anytime on broadcast.
You can now catch Pastor Wayne's messages anytime, any day on your favorite podcast site. Just search on keyword Pastor Wayne. Stream the messages or download them from Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or many other platforms. Again, search on keyword Pastor Wayne and listen anytime, 24/7.